Great Country Q 94. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version. We haven't done one of these in a long time.
I think we skipped the whole month of August.
Think we did. Yeah. Mainly because, well, I have some good topics that I'm keeping back in the crevices of my brain. But the thing I really want to talk about is, first off, the runner in Memphis. Yep. It was, what was she, 35?
I want to say she was like 33, but it doesn't really matter.
Either way, she was out for a run in the early morning hours. It was at 4 in the morning or something.
It's kind of a daily routine.
Daily routine. Yeah. She was kidnapped and then murdered.
Yes.
And we briefly touched on this during our on-air portion, but first, there was a ton of victim shaming.
Yeah, well, it's social
it's
media.
It's wild
we've talked
to
about,
me.
We've talked about social media how many times on this show of people are interesting on their perspectives on that they share on social media.
Like, she shouldn't be running alone, or she shouldn't have been in a sports bra. Like,
that's
first
great.
Off,
like,
it's
I get it.
It's Tennessee. It's warm.
Those are great things to recommend to people. But at the end of the day, maybe we should recommend to this guy that he doesn't stalk her and kidnap
and murder
her.
And
kill
her. Like, maybe, you know, maybe that's what
maybe
we should focus on.
That's the discussion we should have.
You know, I I always have this saying, like, you know, women shouldn't do this. And I'm like, well, maybe men shouldn't assault women.
Yeah, maybe women shouldn't have to be afraid of
exactly. Yeah. It's a lot easier to unload the gun than put on a bulletproof vest.
There you go.
But either way, it's a tragic story all around.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, people were shaming her for going out in the middle of the night. Well, I know she was a teacher, you know, mom.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the only time you can get it in.
Well, and here's the other thing that is interesting to me is because if she was, let's say she was overweight or unhealthy, people would shame her for that.
You're right.
So she's taken these steps to say, I've got two kids at home. I've got a school to teach.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take this time at 4:30 in the morning and go out and get my exercise.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tragedy happens and it's all like, well, why is she running? Why is she? Well, because that's the only time she had.
Right. Yeah.
So,
And
I see that. I used to work 5 to 1, my day shift. And we see people out at 5 o'clock in the morning enjoying Prairie du Chien and the crisp air, you know, this time of the year. And they should be able to do that without fear of being followed and kidnapped.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And I know, I think, were we, the Molly Tibbetts case, I know we had talked about that too.
Yep.
A while ago, you know, she was out running.
Yep.
And was murdered. I remember when I was in college, living in Cedar Falls, Iowa, I went for a run. And I had earbuds in, like a lot of people do.
Yep.
And I had a car follow me. Now, was it malicious?
Yeah.
I don't know. If I hadn't have gone into the gas station, would they have continued to follow me?
Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I also didn't know how long they had been following me because I had earbuds in and wasn't paying attention.
Right.
Now, at the time, I was a 22-year-old girl. And it kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Oh, sure. It should.
Since then, I've never, ever, ever worn earbuds while out running or walking. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because I get taken back to seeing that man behind me.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if it was malicious. I don't know how long he had been following me.
Right.
But I do know that when I walked into the gas station, he sped off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those things. I've talked before on the show of being aware of your surroundings is important, whether you're a 22-year-old girl out for a run or you're walking into a gas station to get gas. I mean, to put yourself in a predicament or to get you out of a predicament is important that all of your senses are taken into account and can take in information. So if you eliminate that with you know, your rock music or country music, Dierks Bentley or whatever you're listening to, you know, you're eliminating that opportunity for you to hear that vehicle behind you or a door slam or, you know, somebody call your name or, you know, have all your senses queued up.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I get made fun of. Like, people are like, I don't know how you can't run without earbuds. And, you know, I have a 15-year-old and she's out for cross country. So she's going on all of these runs and I'm like, take one earbud out.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. I'm like, no, like, you know. Here's what's happened.
Yeah.
She's like, why should I have to be so worried about this?
Yeah.
And as a parent, I'm like, I don't... I don't have a reason to your why,
right,
other than if you think you can't happen to you, you're an idiot.
Yeah, well, yeah, it can happen.
It can happen to anybody. Yep. And it, you know, this has been going on all summer, and then this incident in Memphis happens, and she was like, Wait a second, maybe
Lori's not crazy.
So it is. It's one of those things where, and I have friends that I'm like, I get nervous when you say you're going running in the morning.
Yeah.
And I know you have your earbuds in. Like women shouldn't have to tell people where they're going.
Right. But they really should.
And but we should.
Yeah, a couple different things. You know, they have Life 360 apps. I know a mm-hmm. lot of people that use those, and families use those for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, that should be a time where you should, you know, maybe invest in that and make sure that that's something that you're connected to. Have a time frame. Know, you know, have your family know how far you're running, what your path is, when they should expect you back. And when that doesn't happen, sound the alarm and start looking, get the authorities involved, and you know, pay attention to those things. If they're not back when they say they're going to be back, or you know that they run a 8.5 minute mile and they're out for a 3 mile run and it's now been 50 minutes since they've been back, you know, start being concerned.
And I don't think, as police officers, you would ever be mad at a call about that, and you find somebody who, oh, you know what, I was running down on the island, I ran into somebody I knew, or I decided to stop by the river and take it in, and you guys show up down there, and you're like, oh, nope, she's safe, it's all good.
Yeah, definitely.
Are you going to be mad about that?
Not at all. No,
not at all.
That's a fantastic call, and actually, you know, there's been instances in my career where somebody has gone off and have been overdue. And we found them, and they have asked us, hey, listen, I'm just looking for some time to cool down. Is there a chance you could tell my family that I'm okay and that everything's okay, but I just don't want to be bothered? And it's not against the law to run away as
and
an adult
not be
and not want to be bothered. So there has been instances of that. I'll go back several years ago. There was a lady who was passing through town and was clearly a transient, and we made contact with her. Several of our officers bought her food and groceries and got her blankets and those types of things. And we were later contacted by Rice Lake Police Department. She was reported missing by her family up there. And we knew where she was at. I went and talked to her, and she's like, I'm not missing. I'm just away from them. I don't want to be with them. Yeah, I don't want to be with them anymore. And so we just reported that back to Rice Lake, that she's fine and she's capable of taking care of herself. And she doesn't want to be found, and we got a Christmas card from her later on, saying that she had relocated to the southern portion of our country and was doing great, and kudos to her. But, you know, again, if you call us and you say, hey, my wife is overdue, she's supposed to be home by now, she goes for this run every day, here's her path, and we end up finding her and she tripped and fell and broke her ankle, that's good, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
if she's sitting on a park bench and she's like, hey, I'm just watching these geese that are flying south for the winter, that's fantastic.
That's great too.
So yeah,
you know, yeah.
Don't hesitate to call.
Exactly. Yeah. And here's a question that I have too, from a law enforcement standpoint. I know when an event like this happens, I see sometimes they say, you know, make sure you don't run the same route every day.
Sure.
Because a stalker would then know exactly where you are. But on the flip side, like you just said, you know, if my significant other or my family knows my exact route,
it's easier to find you.
It'd be easier to find you.
Yeah, that could be something that you update every morning. You know,
yeah.
That could be. I just talked to our teachers, and I said, hey, listen, if your first graders are tuned to stepping out of their classroom and turning right and going to the front of the school to be dismissed every day, and there happens to be a critical event that happens in the school, and it's in that part of the school, we need to train our kids to turn left sometimes. But that has to be something that's rehearsed. So if I am going out for my run in the morning and I am touching base with my husband or my wife and saying, hey, I'm going out for my run, I think I'm going to go north today and go up North Beaumont to Frederick Street, Frederick Street to Main Street, back around to the house. Perfect. And on Wednesdays, I'm going to go, you know, south on Beaumont and down to Main Street to the 18 bypass and back to the house. Whatever it is, just make sure that they know your path and where you're going. Again, so they have some type of knowledge on where you might be and how long you're going to be gone.
Again, all things that we shouldn't have to do,
but
you should do.
Yeah.
Now, the other interesting part that I want to bring you in on this situation is this guy, the suspect, was in prison.
Yeah, he had committed a similar offense. Early on in his life, and served his time in prison and was released, and that's what our justice system is designed for. The unfortunate thing that we see too often with our justice system is the things aren't in place to rehabilitate that person or make them
give them the tools. We've talked about this a lot with drug use.
Right. We fail to give them the tools to make better decisions later on in their life.
And I think we think rehab for drugs, you know, like the prison system needs, you know, so that somebody who's using drugs or selling drugs, they come out clean.
Yeah.
But we don't think about the reform for rapists.
Right.
Murderers, you know, clearly something psychologically is wrong with them that made them commit this act. Putting them in a concrete cage for 5 to 10 years isn't going to fix what's going on in their brain.
Right. Yeah, there's some type of trigger, some type of enjoyment that they're getting out of this thought, this experience, and that doesn't go away. It doesn't just go away by spending time in prison.
No. In fact, all it does is it suppresses that and then
makes them more anxious.
When they get out, you know, what happens? So I don't know what the answer to that is. Yeah. I mean, you hear all the time the buzzword, you know, criminal justice reform.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What is that? I mean, how do you go about that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a couple different approaches. You know, we have several lists for, you know, sex offender registries and those types of things because they have a high propensity for reoffending. But again, it's important to know who's in your neighborhood. It's important to know, you know, what that person's driving. Again, who's following you, who you're interacting with. You know, it would almost surprise me if this gentleman had never had contact with this gal before, whether it's just in passing on the sidewalk or, you know, somewhere along the line. I don't believe this is the first time he had ever seen her.
Probably
and,
not.
And I would be surprised if she had never seen him before in some context. Only because these typically aren't crimes of, like, right now I'm going to do this.
No.
You know, I don't know this for certain, but I would imagine that he had this planned out to a certain degree, and had thought about it, if nothing else, and maybe even picked his target. You know, that's unfortunate, but a lot of times that's the case.
I have a feeling, and I again, kind of what you're saying, people don't just go, oh, there's somebody running, I'm going to kidnap them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not...
First, it's kind of hard to kidnap somebody.
Well, especially by yourself and an adult at that. You know, she seemed like she was fit. She seemed like she was a strong individual, and you know, that's difficult to do. So,
I you know, I've always joked I'm not a fast runner, at all.
You just have to be faster than the person next to you.
Well, that. But I've always you kind of get that fight or flight response. Like, okay, if I felt like somebody was coming after me, how fast could I get away, or could I even get away?
Yep.
Would I fight?
Yeah.
Like, what would you do? I mean...
Well, and that's another thing I bring up to teachers a lot is everybody is a fighter, a freezer, or a fleer. And you really have to know what you are. Know if you have the instinct to put your thumb in somebody's eye. Know if you have the instinct to turn and run. Know if you have the instinct of just being docile and not doing anything. Because that's how you're going to react when this event transpires. And I've looked in the eyes of a lot of teachers and been afraid because they are fighters, and I can see that in their eyes that you're not going to go into their classroom and hurt their kids because they're kids. But I've also had a lot of teachers say, well, I could never do that. There's no way I could stick my thumb in somebody's eye. I'm like, well, if it's a difference between them being able to see what they're attacking and not
is
see
it
what
a
attacking,
when it's a matter of life and death,
could you do that? And that's really something that you have to psychologically prepare for well in advance of the event.
I know, you know, you and I have talked about this too, even during the Citizens Academy when we did the firearms training. You know, if you were in a situation, could you pull the trigger?
Yeah.
And you know, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's a really scary thought. So I don't know. It's another tragedy that did not need to happen.
Right.
And, you know, going back to the Molly Tibbetts case, even the Gabby Petito case where, you know, the boyfriend killed her. Yep. And they had even had an interaction with
law enforcement.
With law enforcement. Yeah. You know, it's like, all of these cases, they're in the spotlight and they're, you know, national news for like a week.
And we forget about them.
And then we forget about them because the nature of the news cycle. And it's criminal justice reform isn't something that's going to happen overnight either.
Right.
You know, and it's obviously something massive. We've just been throwing people in jail cells since the beginning of time, literally.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sad to think that we haven't evolved at all.
Well, I think that there's been a bit of an evolution. I don't know that we're certainly not there yet. And I, you know, I think you know, just in my time, but before I started here, we didn't have a thing called teen court. You know, we didn't have a treatment court, and now they're even separating treatment court into alcohol court and drug court. So it's they're certainly making those changes, and you know, it comes with time and energy and funding and all those things have to come together at some point in time. And I just don't know that we're there yet. And clearly, we're not at the point of putting somebody in prison with the intention of changing their thought process when they do get reintroduced back into the community, and hope that we have the social means and social controls in place to say, hey, this is an acceptable behavior, don't take part in this behavior. But they still have that trigger and they still have those thoughts and that desire to be deviant in some way, shape, or form. And it'll be interesting to follow this case. And oftentimes we're like, well, I really don't want this to go to trial, but and you're probably in the same boat as I am, as a junkie of these type of incidents, I really would like it to go to trial because I want to see how all of this transpired. And
I want the details.
Yeah, I hope at some time I get to go to a conference or something where they debrief this and say, hey, this is what could have been done differently by law enforcement, just so I can get some of those details. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this transpires and what all we can find out from this person's motivations to kidnap and kill this lady.
Speaking of what law enforcement could do differently, I want to go back to the Gabby Petito case because I've been meaning to ask you about this one too.
Yep.
So her and her boyfriend, and of course we found out later that the boyfriend murdered her, hid the body, buried the body, and then he went back home. And then he went back home, killed himself.
Yep.
But what was interesting is they were reported. And police officers did respond in the instance of a domestic disturbance.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understood from the Citizens Academy is if you get called for a domestic disturbance, somebody has to leave.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few times that we go to a domestic disturbance and somebody is not arrested. And that is a trend that's changed dramatically throughout the years. I mean, even in the 18 years that I've been doing this, the trend has changed dramatically.
To more arrests or less?
To more arrests.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And even internally at our department, you know, if you go to our field trainers that train our officers, there's very few times where there's another option other than arrest. Now, if we can establish probable cause that a criminal offense has been committed and we have some type of, you know, we can show that this is the primary aggressor in this event, we make that arrest. I don't know all the details of, I think it was in Utah where they had contact. I know that there's been a lawsuit that's been filed by her family.
Yes.
And, you know, that's unfortunate. And there's a lot of body camera out there that you could watch as well. And domestic cases are very interesting and difficult at the same time because emotions are really high. We may have talked about this on this show. If not, we definitely covered it in Citizens Academy. And especially in rural areas, we find this to be true where the victim oftentimes has, I don't want to say a crutch, but they see themselves as the quality of their life being diminished if their partner goes to jail or is charged with this criminal offense, meaning he or she is the only person that works outside the house, or he or she is the one that brings in the most money into the home. And if I report this...
Or the shame in a small community.
That could be very well it, too. Yeah.
I mean, I can see that playing a huge role.
Definitely. Yep. And so there's all those things that come into play. And you know, in my experience, one of the biggest questions that victims of domestic violence ask us as police officers is, well, where am I supposed to go now? Like, this is the only home that I have to live in. I don't want to call my mom and dad for the shame reason you talked about. I don't want to call my brother and sister. where do I go now? And how do my kids get to school in the morning? And how do I put food on the plate tomorrow? And, you know, he or she has to be to work at 6 o'clock, and I have to be to work at 8 o'clock. And there's just a lot of things that go into play, and it's emotionally charged. We are always the bad guys in this instance. I mean, that's just the reality. Cops are get that hat oftentimes anyways, but in those scenarios, there are oftentimes where the victim will not be kind to us, and especially in the presence of the offender. And so that's a difficult thing to manage from a police officer standpoint, because you want to do your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to maintain the rules that the statute lays out as far as shall arresting people for their offenses. But at the same time, there are very, very, very few times that these cases are prosecuted as domestic violence cases for a number of reasons. One of the most common reasons is the victims recant their statements quite often, or just refuse to participate in the prosecution of the suspect.
Well, psychologically too, you know, being abused is something that you know, kind of wears on a person. It changes a person, yeah. Almost to where they start to believe it's their fault.
Sure. Yep.
You know,
I've heard that lots of times.
I was gonna say you hear it lots of times. Or once he cools down, it's good when it's good, but it's bad when it's bad. You know,
lots of times too. When you know, I hear this most often when they're sober. That like they're the greatest husband or wife that you'll ever have, and then alcohol gets involved and everything changes. So
yeah, I mean, substance abuse, all of that. So it does, and I've seen a lot of the analysis of the body cam of Gabby, and sure, they're saying these are like signs of like serial abuse, like she's taking the blame, and so the officers aren't seeing that. They're going, oh well, okay, she's the one at fault here, she's the one abusing him, which is actually, again, tragic.
Yeah, I can think back of very specific cases where I've had that conversation with that spouse that has turned the tables and been like, well, I really didn't have dinner ready on time, and I really have been slacking, and the house isn't as clean as it should be, and, you know, I really did go out with my friends last night, and I probably shouldn't have, and, it takes that courageous moment where you look them in the eyes and say, you have completely flipped this whole call into bearing the burden of why we're here, and that shouldn't happen. And then the kind of the light bulb turns on where they're like, you know what? They're right, and they get this. And I did just do that, but they're so used to that.
Yes, a pattern of behavior and being, you know, downtrodden, I guess.
Yeah.
That took a way different turn than I was planning on it going.
No, it's great. I mean, I think it's all connected in a way.
It is.
You know, violence
it is
violence in any form.
It is.
And it's things that we need to talk about and, you know, let the public understand that the police department knows this stuff. Like, we go through domestic training, and we have domestic violence previous victims come in and talk to us about, this is the experience that we have as victims, and here's what you should look for when you're at this scene, and these are the excuses that are made, and all of those things. We go through that training. We know those trends. And so we're not just walking into this blind as Joe Schmo that's, you know, doesn't know anything about anything. It's a very common call that we have, and it's a very common topic that we train with.
Yeah. So not only domestic violence, but, you know, safety when you're out in the public. Yeah. It's sad that we have to do this. It's kind of goes back to even, you know, with the shootings and, you know, always be aware of the exits. And it's sad that we have to do this, but also you should be prepared. You know, maybe only run with one earbud or you know, let everybody know where you're going. Be prepared.
Yeah, just that little bit of preparation can make the difference between having a great run in the morning and having a really sad moment in the morning. So just be prepared.
Well, I'm glad the extended version is back.
Yeah, let's keep this up.
I got to come up with some more questions.
Well, how about our viewers? Like, shoot us an email and tell us what you'd like to hear on our extended versions. We'd love to have some topics.
I think there's a contact us form on the website. You can tell us.
Either one of us are pretty accessible.
I was
going to
say, message the Prairie to Sheen Facebook page.
No, call this Free Beer Friday line and say, hey, I don't want the beer. I want this topic covered.
It's the extended version of Coffee with Kyle, promising to be back for more coming up later this month. It's the extended version of Coffee with Kyle from Dunkin' Donuts in Prairie du Chien.